Hello, Fight Inside fans, viewers, and listeners. I'm the Filipino podcasting machine, Princey D, and with me, as always, Timmy B. Before we start, please take a moment to follow and subscribe to us on YouTube or wherever you get your pods and leave 5-star reviews. If you'd like to support the show, check out middaysquares.com and use Fight Insight 15 to save 15% on your first order. On today's episode, we talk to a UFC bantamweight contender. To discuss bad reffing, preview UFC 268, and a whole lot more. Timmy, hit it! Yeah, it's Timmy B, Princey D, Fight Insight. Yeah, that's right.
All right, to introduce our guest today, I'm going to say a bit of a joke, okay? An MMA fighter, a geologist, a movie star, and a panda walk into a bar. The bartender turns around and says, "Hey, Julia." Because our guest today is all those things and more. She is the number 14 ranked bantamweight in the world with a record of 9-2, winning 5 of her last 6, and is set to face off against number 9 ranked Raquel Pennington on December 18th from Oklahoma City at her gym, the Outsiders Combat Club. Ladies and gentlemen, we're very excited to welcome to the podcast,
Julia, the Raging Panda Avila.
Yeah. How you doing, Julia?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me on the show.
Good. You have so many accolades. I was almost going to run out of space in my intro of you here.
You make me sound like the modern Renaissance woman. Oh, I'm flattered.
It is.
Tell me more. Yeah.
Julia, I have to ask you, we had lots of fan questions and we'll get to them at the end, but people wanted to know, thank you to Venom and Reebok, we don't get to see the panda adorned clothing that you used to wear, like in walkouts and your weigh-ins. But people don't know, and I couldn't figure it out, why the Raging Panda? Where did that nickname come from?
So my manager, actually, who's a good friend of mine, he actually gave me the nickname Raging Panda, but everyone has called me Panda for a long time. I just really like pandas. There's no like existential like meaning behind it, you know. There's no like rage within. It's just I really, really like pandas. And my manager one day goes, "Hey, you're kind of cute and cuddly but vicious." Like, yeah, so you're the Raging Panda, like cute and cuddly bear, but I'm still a fucking bear.
Nice.
Man, Julia, I was hoping you were going to say you fought a panda or something. I don't know. There was maybe you trained with pandas when growing up.
And I wear it at night, every night, just so they know. I wear it where it's head.
Nice. Now, going from pandas to another animal, a little birdie told us that you become an angry cat when you drink. What's the story there?
So there's a very, very thin line of when I am happy-go-lucky, and then I'm happy-go-lucky, but then I realize that I'm also very strong. So I just start knocking things over like a cat. Like, I don't grab. There's no grabbing. There's no, like, primate grabbing. No thumbs. I just knock stuff over like a cat.
All right. That very makes sense, Julia. I'm going to show a picture here for the next question. I want to know, this is what brought you into the hearts of many fans, I feel. Like, this moment, I think, was very touching for people here. When you're hugging good old DC after your last win, and you got blood on his suit, my question is, did he make you dry clean his suit?
He didn't. No, he was actually super nice about it. And he's like, "Don't worry about it, it's fine."
All right, because he's got that champ money. Like, his suits are disposable, I'm almost positive. Like,
I kind of want to be like, I'll take it and I'll sell it on eBay.
Nice. On that, in that moment, right, when you were there and it was like really emotional, you were talking about, you know, having to leave your old gym and starting up your new one, and so you're there right now, you're at the Outsiders Club.
Ooh, very awesome. Nice.
And you got to follow Julia on her Instagram, because like all your photos with your gym, it's growing, it's getting more popular. It looks incredible, right? You started it, I think, with 6 people, including your husband.
So those were the owners, actually. So the story, if I'll just give a little brief rundown.
Yeah, sure.
I got kicked out of my gym. Seven of us got together as owners, and like 90% of the old gym left with us. So we had a pretty good following. We're still growing. We have a lot of like homegrown athletes as well. But yeah, here we are. And so it's seven of us that are owners. So it's not just me.
Okay.
But I'm the only girl, so they like to put me in front.
Oh.
But it looks awesome. I mean, I love the name of it, The Outsiders. But and I heard you talking somewhere else, and you were saying that you didn't want anyone to ever feel like they're an outsider, that you want to know everybody's name when they're a member of your gym and stuff like that. It looks like you have a great community. Do you have other professional fighters, or is it very panda focused? Like, what's the
so
diversity?
We do have a lot of fighter. We just acquired a handful of fighters. Again, you know, there's always gym issues that send, you know, people from one to another. And so we've just acquired a couple of MMA fighters. Most of them are amateur, but I ran the MMA program at my old gym. And, you know, with me as the head coach, we were 8-1.
Nice, nice. Wow.
For pro and ammies, most of them with finishes. So, you know, I'm a good coach. I know a thing or two. I feel like I'm on my way, hopefully, to be the female James Krause.
Wow.
Big shoes to fill, though.
Yeah, that's good.
But Julia, and the name, The Outsiders, it has nothing to do with the novel, is it?
So Essie Hinton actually is from Oklahoma. So the person that suggested it, one of the owners, David, he's like, you know, it goes great. You know, we got kicked out. We're kind of outsiders. And it goes with Oklahoma. So
would you say you guys are the greasers?
Yes. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. We actually want to do a photo shoot, but the guys don't want to do it with me. Again, they put me in front. They're like, you do the camera stuff. You do the talking.
Julia, actually, just one more question. Out of all the greasers, who do you think you relate to the most?
Okay, I'm definitely not Pony Boy.
Okay.
I had a dog named Pony Boy. He was a bull terrier.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Gosh, I don't know. What was Patrick Swayze's character?
Oh, man. I was just looking at this. It's going to kill me. Tim, you go ahead with the questions. I'm going to figure this out.
I'm so glad that you figured that out, because I would have thought it was like from Batman and the Outsiders. I thought maybe like you were a comic book nerd, and I'm like, God, is it from that Outsiders?
I do love comic books. Actually, one of my three questions, it's like, have you ever danced with the devil in the pale moonlight? That's what the Joker said Batman's parents before he killed him.
That's right. Very nice. Speaking about your husband as your coach, it's awesome. Right. We've seen him in your corner. We see the love. Right. But when you're just before you get, get checked out by the ref and stuff like that, and he's in your corner and he's there with you. So how amazing is it to have your husband as your coach? And I understand that you met him when you were a geologist.
Mm-hmm. So we met at work, and actually I didn't want him to be in my corner ever at first. I was like, okay, you're going to be in the stands. Like, I need you to be a husband. I don't need you to be a coach. I find it difficult for me to separate the two. He can separate the two. He knows when to be a coach. He knows when to be a husband. So when I'm, you know, going through hard rounds and I'm breaking down on the side, he's like, get it together. Go. Let's get up. Let's go. And I'm like, I need you to be a husband. Let me be vulnerable. But no, he pushes me. He knows what I'm capable of, and he knows not to let me slack. But he also knows that there's a very thin line until I become that angry cat. And so I will swipe him.
He's got to put his valuables way back in the bookshelf, right? Like nothing to fall.
Angry cat, no grip. There you go.
No grip, right? I broke my thumb on someone's face once. So that's why no grip. I'm always...
So one of the fan questions, actually, so I might go into that now. One of the fan questions was, what was the worst thing that your husband has ever said to you during a fight or during a training camp?
Everyone that... So we have a handful of fighters, and my husband has this amazing, amazing way to really push everyone's button. And it's nothing against him. It's just the way he approaches people. It's a matter of fact, like, get up. Why are you there? Like, move, right? And I'm like, I'm fucking trying, right? So one time he told me, he's like, just get up. And it was nothing. Like, I was doing a man in the middle round. So I'm like 10 minutes in, fresh body every minute. These guys are like 180 pounds. I'm 140 soaking wet. And he's like, Julia, just get up. And I lit into him. That's all he said. He's, Julia, just get up. Just like that. And I was like, you don't fucking know. You're not a fighter. You've never been in here, blah, blah, blah. And then immediately after I was done, he's like, you're done? Now get up. And I was like, okay, you're right. You're right.
Nice, nice. But that's the thing, right? As a husband, he knows the buttons to push. He knows the way to kind of get you motivated. And he stays within that realm, right?
Yes, yes, absolutely. He has never raised his voice at me. I think the only time he does is when I, because I have a tendency of doing this, but I work out too much. I don't like resting. Yeah. So
I don't see what's wrong with that. Tim, is there anything wrong with that? There's nothing wrong with that. I think
when you're running 30 miles a day and then doing like 4 workouts on top of that and then trying to do more, like, yeah.
Yeah,
Julia, that's called time management. Good for you.
Thank you. Thank you. See, this is the kind of positivity I need.
That's it.
Julia, I have to ask you. So on this podcast, we talked about it actually right before it happened. So I had witnessed where a father was being really harsh to a kid in the gym, and it was really bothering me. And we talked about it on the podcast, and it's like, I don't like this. And we were going in on that. And then the thing happened with Aspen Ladd, which, you know, was a couple of weeks ago now, where her husband, boyfriend slash coach was in her corner. And there's videos where you can see him getting like progressively a little bit more aggressive. Misha Tate tweets, right? And that causes a whole bunch of controversy, whether it's abuse and blah, blah, blah. I wanted to get your opinion, if you don't mind, and just see where you stand on, even if not necessarily that situation, but at what point can it become a little bit too inappropriate?
So there are two different approaches to this. You did mention the parents first, so I'm gonna address that one first. So the parents and the kids, I'm the coach, right? So if there is something going on the side, like, I step in and I'm like, this is my job. You parent, you, that's your job. You sit on the sidelines and I will do my job, you do yours, right? Mm-hmm. I'm just as strict with the kids as I am with the parents. And if they don't like that, we can find them another gym. That being said, I am a little lenient with the children. Now, as far as coach and athletes are, that's a little different. So each athlete is very unique to how they receive information, right? But that's the important part. It's receiving information and receiving instruction. So when I'm yelling at my athlete, yeah, I might say fuck, right? Or I might be a little aggressive depending on which athlete it is, but yeah. I'm always giving instruction. I'm never going to come in and be like, what are you doing? What are you thinking? Right? Because that's not my job. My job is to instruct them. Right? So I have wrestlers and I attract wrestlers because I can be very aggressive. You'll see me in some of my some of the jiu-jitsu matches. I'll get them riled up and I'll slap them in the face. MMA fights, I'll do the same thing. I'll be like, get in there, do this, do that. Stick to the game plan. Right in the face.
Yeah.
Again, no. but it's very athlete specific, and that's a relationship between the athlete and coach, right? There's a trust there, and so I didn't watch the fight. I did see the tweets though. I don't know what he said to her, but if he was just going in there and saying, what the hell are you doing? Like, that's not a coach, right? That's criticism. I need there to be information. So that's my biggest criticism when I'm getting coaching on the sidelines, or if my husband yells, you know, just get up, like, tell me how to get up. Tell me where to put my hands. Like, this is Simon says, you let me know what to do and I will do it. I'm a puppet.
It's funny that you say that, Julia, because without seeing it, you've hit on a couple of the things. One was there wasn't a lot of constructive feedback. It was just a lot of what the are you doing? You know, like just a lot of that. And it, and the tone kept raising and raising between rounds. And then the other thing is that when she was with him, she wasn't looking at him in the eye. She was like just looking off, and she wasn't acknowledging what he was saying. Like she wasn't like nodding or saying, okay. And there was no back and forth. It was just like literally just yelling, like, what the hell are you doing? Blah, blah, blah. And she's just sitting there looking away. And so I don't know. It just wasn't cool to me. And I just, you know, what about the fact about the relationship though? And I get that you can be rough with your wrestlers, but what about, does that change when you're in a romantic relationship with the person? I know that's not the situation for you, but does that change at all? Or does that have any bearing?
No, that absolutely doesn't change. Okay. If anything, I think my husband was a little bit harder on me. Again, his instruction, like, is to the point. It's very black and white. There's no room for emotion in it. It's do this. And yeah. I think that's why I get it a little confused. Like I need to be vulnerable, but that's my burden to carry, not his. He's actually mm-hmm. doing everything right as a coach, but he's the same with everyone, right? He's like, this is your instructions. This is how you do it. I think it's very unique. I always advocate for families to train adjacent, but never together, because there's always that vulnerability that people don't know how to leave behind.
Yeah. Right?
So when I'm coaching my athletes, I tell them from the beginning, I'm like, I'm a very demanding coach. I expect greatness from you and the greatness that you can give me for that day. But it's up to you to tell me when's your limit, right? Because I can go forever. But I tell them I know how to be a friend, and I know how to be a coach. I'm not going to be a friendly coach. I'm not there to be your friend. I'm there to be your coach.
Yeah, so, and that's how you inspire the greatness out of them, right? Like, I mean, you can't give them that leniency. No, I appreciate. I'm telling you, we're gonna put your Instagram handle for those who don't follow you. Of course, that's nobody, but you know, your Instagram, even your stories are very inspirational all the time. Like, it's always very inspirational. It's a lot of good positive vibes you get out of your thing, right? With you teaching the kids and just your whole group, it looks amazing. Like, if I ever have to flee Canada, I'm probably going to Oklahoma City. So
yes, come to Oklahoma. You have a place to stay.
Yeah. And if you can just watch out, because my wife, sometimes we don't train adjacent, and she'll like, you know, hit me in the stomach when I'm not looking. So I'd appreciate you helping me out, Coach Julia.
Yeah,
so,
you got a block.
Damn it.
Listen, guys, I'm just really curious how it feels like to be slapped by a no-grip cat.
A no-grip cat? It's very soft sometimes.
So it's not that bad. You know what I mean? So, you know, suck it up. We can get going. Come on. Yeah. It's just a little tap here and there. We're good to go. I was thinking like a full.
No. I'm still nice about it, right?
If they don't come up with a win with that, then I don't know what. They should totally leave it entirely, right? So.
Yeah. Exactly, Julia. December 14th, you have your biggest 18th. Challenge. Oh, December 18th, I apologize. Your biggest challenge to date, number 9 ranked, right? Ranked above you. Raquel Pennington came off, you know, being off for a while. She lost her ranking. So she's hungry to get that back. Here you are coming up, trying to take that spot. What can people expect when they see you fight on December 18th?
Well, I am pretty active and explosive. I'm very excited about that. I know that she tends to not push the pace, but she's super durable. Like most of her wins have been decision wins. And so I don't know. I'm really excited. I know. I mean, she's not ranked number 9 for no reason. You know what I mean? Like she's tough and everyone in the UFC is tough. I'm excited. I think it's really going to test, whether I can take a hit. Because I've gone against some great girls, but I don't think I've gone against anyone as strong as she is. But I also don't think that she's dealt with the high pace that I've I bring, even though, so her record is what, 12-9? She has as many losses as if I have wins. So she has a lot of experience,
right?
So that's something that I think might benefit her, but I don't know. Don't ever hide away from the underdog.
I'm curious. I don't know that you're going to be an underdog on this because you've been on a high streak, riding high. I think you guys are going to come in very even money if that's what you care about. But your last few fights, very impressive. So
and Julia, talk about pace. Like literally, I walked in and I saw your phone. Julia's fighting, sitting down. I'm like, round one, 22 seconds in. I'm like, whoa, okay, it's done already. I guess I gotta go start dinner now. So there you go.
Yeah.
Thanks, Julia. Thanks, appreciate it.
Not my fastest TKO. My fastest TKO was 21 seconds. So
No.
You get older, you get slower.
Ah, a second here, a second there, Julia. We will forgive you for it. It's going to be an amazing fight. I'm so excited because I think that's a great stylistic match too, right? Like it's just two of you are going to go at it. And I'm very, very excited. I know the fans are going to be super excited too.
Thank you.
We have some...
Actually, Julia, let me ask you. So 21 seconds, did your feet even leave the ground? Did you just jump? Like so, as soon as the bell rang, did you just fly and kick the person or what happened?
I heard she was a Golden Gloves boxer. So I was like, okay, I want to test this. So I came in and I hit her with a right cross and she like crumbled. And I was like, oh, okay. And I just kept going.
And hence the name Raging Panda. There you go.
Julia, we went to the fans and we got some fan questions. So we're going to ask you some. Yeah. The first one is, and I want to thank this guy a lot because he's who put us in touch with you, Michael Currier, such a great guy. This guy, we had him on as a guest on our podcast way early on, Julia, and we've been a friend of his ever since. His question is, on a scale of 1 to 10, how much of Cody's life is spent babysitting you?
Oh, God. I think I'd say closer to 10.
Yeah.
Okay. On a scale of 1 to 10. Well, okay. If it weren't for him, I'd probably like run myself ragged and burn out. But I'm pretty sure he can't survive without me either. So it's it's a positive codependent relationship.
That's awesome. No, that's good. That's good. All right. MMA Social Squad asks, they are great. They ask, what is your latest I can't believe this is happening moment? Also, hi with a bunch of hearts. So they definitely love you. So what is your latest I can't believe this is happening moment?
I got my black belt.
Yay!
That's right. That just happened. Congratulations.
Yeah, that just happened not too long ago, September 26th. I received my black belt from a living legend, Chris Howder, Professor Chris Howder, one of the original American Dirty Dozen. So that's amazing. And actually Michael, he is belted under him. So like we're black belt relatives.
Ah, nice, nice.
Yeah.
Excellent. Yeah. No, he's a great guy. And so thank you. And thank you for that.
So it was me and two of my friends that got black belted all at the same time. And we all matching tattoos.
Hey.
Yeah. Oh, that's the logo of your gym, right?
Yeah.
Nice. Excellent.
Julia, please tell me you got it on film.
What?
The when they presents you with the belt.
Oh, yeah. So I do have it. I'm still like digesting everything because from getting, you know, kicked out of a gym to receiving my black belt from a legend is, and then doing it alongside some of my friends. And also I belted my husband. That's crazy. Nice. Right.
Excellent. So that's
pretty unheard of. I outrank him and then I got to belt him. So, that was my, oh my God, this is happening. So I'm still trying to digest all of it. And I haven't really made a post. It's been, what, 2 months?
No, that's amazing, Julia. No, it's so nice, you know, like I'm telling you again, like just the whole vibe that you give off, the whole vibe that your gym gives off, it's very, very positive. Like it's really nice. This one's, I think it's Comic Fan 2K2 asks, hello, Rogue, if you could have any mutant powers, what would they be? And I feel like he's referencing the white strip.
Yeah. Yeah.
In the hair, which is very rogue-esque.
This is natural, by the way.
All right.
I've been going gray since I was 19. Okay. I get it all the time. People are like, why do you dye your hair like that? I'm like, people pay for this? No. If I could have a superpower, I would probably have, I'm already pretty strong, so not that. Probably the ability to teleport.
Nice.
Because I hate traveling. I hate traveling, like with a passion.
All right.
And if I could just like snap my fingers and be, you know, in the bathroom, that'd be awesome. Yeah.
You know, traveling. Many people would say if I could go to Hawaii or go to, you know, like not just short distance to the washroom, but okay, that's fine. Like small steps, Julia.
Man, I thought Julia was going to say the power to grip or something. Like that. I thought that was, it was one of the superpowers. The cat, there you go, right? Like at least. Thumb.
I don't need grips.
Just a couple more. Musky MMA says, who is the coolest celebrity you have ever met and why is it Danny Trejo?
Danny Trejo was really cool. He actually told me a lot of stories about how he got in the business. So when he was in prison, he became a boxer, right, to stay in shape. And so when he got out of prison, he went to a casting call and he was an extra and the director pulled him off to the side and said, hey, do you box? Do you know how to do this? And he's like, oh yeah, totally. So they kept him around. And that's how he got his start in the business is from his boxing skills. And he's like, let me see your fights. So I got to show him some of my fights and
that's awesome.
He was super impressed and it was really cool. So I was like, oh my God, okay, Danny Trejo.
It's like such a legend, man, that guy. I mean, he has been in everything. Is he in your movie, The Squad?
No. So I was in his movie. I played a stunt double and an extra in his film. It's 13 Cemeteries. It's a horror film. And I've always wanted to be in a horror film. I love horror films.
All right. Very cool. When, for those that don't know, because we're going to run out of time, but when does your movie The Squad come out? You're listed like high up in the credits.
Yeah. So I play a supporting role. I play JC. She's a kick butt. And it's so that's an action film. The Squad will be premiering in March of 2022.
Nice. That's so exciting. That's really cool, man. That's awesome that you're doing that. Next question. This is from my wife, Ashley, Aaron's S2. She asks, what murder podcast do you listen to? And did you watch Only Murders in the Building?
I did not watch Only Murders in the Building.
That's a good show.
Okay.
It's Steve Martin and Martin Short. It's on Disney Plus it's on some streaming service, but it's about murder podcasts. And then they start doing their own.
Awesome.
Yeah.
All right. So I listen to quite a couple. I listen to My Favorite Murder. I listen to And That's Why We Drink, Sword and Scale. Let's see, what else? Let's Not Meet. That's actually a true horror, or it's a stalking, like it's about stalkers and stuff. There's some other ones.
In all reality, I had no clue this was even a thing. Until I watched that TV show. And then you posted about it right as we were watching the show.
Yeah. So I listen to a lot of murder podcasts. And then, so it varies between that and like myths and legends. That's actually what it's called, myths and legends.
All right. Last question. And Dana White has been quoted as saying that fighting is not a career, it's an opportunity. And you have your background and education and training as a geologist and you're doing the movie stuff and all that. So how important is it for you with all your fighters around you that you make sure that they're diversifying and having other means of sustaining a living after their fighting is done?
It's very important to me. We actually have a lot of our amateurs are in college. And so they'll talk to me and they'll say, hey, coach, I can't make it in. I have to catch up on grades. I have to do this. I have to do that. And I'll tell them, I'm like, I write down all of my workouts. I will have it for you and I will open up the gym for you. We will make this accessible, right?
Wow.
This is a passion. This is not a career. one of our other amateur fighters, she's working to become a psychologist. And I'm like, fighters are a head case. Yes, please do that. Do that and save us all, because Lord knows I can't. I can only coach you so much.
Nice.
But yeah, I think it's very, very important. And people ask me all the time, they're like, oh, you know, you're probably raking in the dough. And I'm like, fighting does not make money. Coaching doesn't make money. I'm not earning a cent from here. There's seven of us. You know, if we divide what we make, like, none of us get paid. We all have jobs. My career right now, I've been blessed with being in the position that I can focus on strictly fighting. But it wasn't like that for a long time. I worked two jobs for 10 years to get to this point. And even now, I don't have the opportunity to make us like sustainable living. I still have to do privates here and there and coach other things in order to make ends meet. So it's very, very important. And I really, really emphasize for our students to have good grades and to pursue not even a college level education, but like pursue a career. So whether they want to be a mechanic or, you know, a manager of something, just I want them to pursue their level of greatness, to pursue, to be able to provide for them, their families, and for their passions.
Yeah, that's amazing, because that's, again, that's something that you really bring to the table that people can look up to and see in you, right? And they can admire that, and they can aspire to be like that. Because I'm telling you, you know, that's something that I worry that people miss out on, right? Like not realizing that, hey, when this is done, I need to be able to do something else. And what is that something else going to be? Not everyone's just going to be a fitness instructor. You know right. what I mean? Or like they think like, oh, I'll just coach for the rest of my life. Okay. But there's only so many coaches, right? Like you need to have something else to do. So.
And we want to present problem solving skills. So like my husband and I have talked about, you know, ways of enriching the children's lives, like maybe having a chess club or checkers or something that'll enrich them and make them problem solve and think outside the box. Because we do push them to do things physically, but I want them to also think about how to use their minds. So I don't know. I try to do it in some creative ways, like just memory games or whatever, because I have a horrible memory. So I try to incorporate that in the classes. But again, there's only so much that we can do right now. But we're working on it. It's all trial and error.
No, that's awesome, Julia. Like, I really appreciate you coming on so much. Thank you so, so much for giving us the time and spending a little bit of time with us. We appreciate it. This is episode 38 for us. So awesome. to have the Raging Panda on is like such a dream. It's very cool. Before we let you go, is there anything that you wanted to say or shout out to anybody?
Well, thank you so much for having me on the show. And I will promise you this, and it's on video. When I become champ, you guys will be the first ones that I interview with.
Oh, man. Can I cry now?
All right. Well, I was going to quit this podcast right after this episode, Julia, but not now. That's it. I'm going to stay on till at least that happens.
Yes. Thank you, Julia. So we will keep in touch. I really, really appreciate you guys. I appreciate Panda Nation and all the love and support that everyone has given through the highs and the lows. I just, I really, really appreciate my fans. And, you know, I don't do this for my greatness. I do this to be an inspiration to other people. So thank you all.
Oh, nice. So
Prince, anything before we let her go?
Julia, before you go, I just let you know. So the Patrick Swayze played Derry in the Greasers. Yeah. Okay. Because I didn't want to leave you hanging over there. And before you go, favorite scary movie, just so for the fans, do it for the fans. Favorite scary movie?
Nightmare on Elm Street. The 80s one with Johnny Depp.
Nice.
Excellent. I just saw Freddy versus Jason, and it didn't click for me, but the 80s one still gives me nightmares. So thank you still for sharing that.
Nightmares. Still gives me nightmares.
Nice. Oh, all right, Julia. Well, thank you so much. We will keep you to that promise. So hurry up, get that win, get that title shot, get that title, and we will see you with it on this podcast.
See you guys.
Thank you, Julia. Take care. Bye-bye. All righty. Prince, that's pretty cool. She's going to be a champion. She's going to be on our podcast. She's so amazing, man. Her fights are amazing. Like the aggression and the way she fights people is like, love it. Love it. Love it. it's gonna happen. Big things happening for
look the fight that she had with Gina. Like, that was nuts. Like literally, it was 22 seconds, and I sat down. I was eating my popcorn. I got two bites in, not even two bites in. I was like, okay, so I gotta go make dinner now. So
I felt bad when she said, do you worry about working out too much? I'm like, oh my god, this is so embarrassing. Like, I don't work out enough at all. Like, I I'm gonna blame the pandemic still, Prince. I don't care. I'm still blaming that.
Dang it, COVID.
All right. So we wanted to talk about a few things. Guys, one thing is that our next guest for next week is going to be a young pro fighter. His name is Joseph Galaviz. I apologize if I'm saying that name wrong. We will get it right when we have him. Joseph Galaviz, he is fighting on November 14th at Fury FC 53, Joseph the Ronin Galaviz. And he trains out of Colorado Springs Pariah MMA. So we're very excited to have him. And Prince, at that event, Fury FC, Dana White looking for a fight is going to be there. I am very excited to ask him, like, what kind of added pressure does that bring to him, knowing that Dana White and, you know, whoever he's got with him, Dean Thomas, whatever, Matt Serra, they're going to be there cage side watching that fight. Like, that, this is make or break for your career. So very excited to have him on, and we will have him next week.
You know, that's the fight where you got to pull something out of your pocket. Like, you got to literally just hop off of jump off of the ropes, or maybe, I don't know, flying kick, or make up a submission, anything to get Dana White's eyes.
Can you imagine? You go there thinking, okay, this is just another pro fight. It's, you know, Fury FC. Mm-hmm. Next thing you know, at the end of the night, you're going to be a UFC fighter. So crazy dreams can come true, man, for this guy. And I hope we can bring him some luck, Prince.
That's it.
Last weekend, Prince, we had Cinderella story came true, which we did predict.
Yeah.
So we had Glover Teixeira. Prince, amazing fight. But what I wanted to talk about was this here. This is Dana White. And this is terrible, but it's a photo of Dana White. And someone asked him, is Jiří Prokopić, however you say that guy's name, Jiří, is Jiří the next fight for Glover? And Dana White said, probably. What do you think is the next fight for Glover, and where do you see this going for him?
I think that would be the smart fight. I think that would be a good way to test his title, his championship. And I mean, first of all, let's congratulate the man. The man busted incredible. His butt. 41 years old, and he got 42, it done.
42, I think.
Oh. Yeah, actually, his birthday. Yeah, he turned 42 at Abu Dhabi because and gave him a beer as a gift. So, and you know what? And just goes to show, like, even with that fight, I mean, you just see the experience, right? I mean, he took him down, he submitted him, he knows not to go toe to toe with Yan. But I honestly think that fight would be amazing to watch, just the two of them. And but man, like, he's got to soak this in first. He's got to soak it all in, like, enjoy the moment. He's gone back to his hometown. And, you know, it's a long 20. I think they were saying it was like 20 years in the making, right?
So, 20 years he's been a professional. There's photos of him with Dana White back when he was like a young guy. Like, it's crazy. But the only thing I'll say is, when Dana White said probably, it makes me think about, like, when I'd be a kid and I'd say to my dad, like, hey, can I go get a comic book? And can I go get a comic book after training? And then my dad would go, yeah, probably. I never once got a comic book. Probably in my brain always means no. So I wonder what Dana's got lined up, or Dana uses the word differently than my father did. But either way.
Yeah. Well, he was at the event. I mean, he was supposed to be the step in, right? So, I mean,
if one of them couldn't make weight, he was going to be the guy.
So, I mean, that would be an amazing fight to watch, right? So, but again, shout outs to him. He was, like, honestly, that was the first fight, Tim, to let you know, I screamed. I jumped up. I was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe it. I was so excited. And a lot of people that was watching the fight, they were telling me too. They were like, oh my gosh, I can't believe he got it done, right? So shout outs to him for sure.
Awesome. Next thing we want to talk about, I'm getting a little bit of echo on your mic, because something might be a little bit extra loud. The life of a ref. So what we wanted to talk about here is what went down last weekend as well in the prelims with this gentleman here. So this was his Instagram. It's
try and pronounce his name, Tim.
Salakisalev 0407. But this was the referee that was reffing the fight between, let me see, who was this gentleman? So we know what we're talking about, though. We're talking about that, that happened.
DeSantos versus Saint-Denis.
Saint-Denis, yes, from France. And Saint-Denis, for those that didn't watch the fight, is taking a pretty bad beating. Pretty bad. This referee, no interest in stopping the fight.
Nope.
Now, the internet was ablaze with people going crazy, going, this guy should be fired. What's wrong with this ref? There were, you know, plenty of people with blue check marks on their Twitter, tweeting, this referee's gotta be done and blah, blah. Like, he was getting a lot of heat, and then he was removed from reffing about later in the night. Mm-hmm. What did you think about this, Prince? You watched the fight, right?
Yep. And okay.
What are your thoughts?
Tim, like, wow, I saw it and I couldn't believe my eyes. I mean, the second round, Saint-Denis was getting a beating. I mean, shout outs to him too. I mean, he fought his heart out, right? He did not quit. But again, I mean, the ref, you're there to, you know, protect those fighters, right? And then I think, and also DeSantos got a point taken out of him in the third round, right? Yeah.
After an eye gouge.
Eye gouge, right? And also, Saint-Denis, there's also, they didn't call in the doctor to have his eye checked in the second round as well.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there was a lot of red flags going on in that fight. And I don't know what rules this ref goes by, but I swear he threw a shank in the middle of the ring and say, hey, you know what? Just to the death. I'm not stopping nothing.
Yeah, the ref's name, Vyacheslav Kiselev. Mm-hmm. He's the guy that refuses to stop the fight. I will say, Saint-Denis, I don't think speaks English. I don't think this ref speaks English nor French. Mm-hmm. When he was saying that thing about, can you see? And the guy kind of responded, no. I don't know what each of them thought they were saying. So I'm going to go out here, Prince, and say, I didn't have such a problem with it. That Saint-Denis guy is a monster. That dude was fighting back constantly. And it looked to me like there was one point where the ref was about to step in. Mm-hmm. And then Saint-Denis took the guy down.
Yep.
And it was, you know, and he kept going. And so, like, okay, so the ref's going in to stop it, but then he takes him down. He's not absorbing damage anymore. And so the ref backs off, and then he gave him another go. Mm-hmm. And I researched it, and apparently the coach of Saint-Denis was like, I was never going to throw the towel in. Like, this guy is my fighter. He knew what he wanted to do. He was in there to fight, blah, blah, blah. He's special forces. He's a monster. No worries about it. And they actually appreciated that the ref let it go on. Of course, you're going to say that now, right? Like, what else are you going to say? But do you think the ref should have been penalized and not reffing again? Do you think we'll ever see this ref again?
I really doubt we'll see this ref again. Like, honestly, I mean, but again, I mean, it was Saint-Denis's UFC debut, and he was first time coming in. I think he was 8-0, right?
He was an undefeated fighter. Yep. And again, so then there it's like, okay, well, you got to give this guy a chance to not lose his O. Mm-hmm. So that's another great reason why I thought, okay, maybe it wasn't such a bad job by the ref. You know, early stoppages are normally what we're normally used to complaining about. Late stoppages are a little bit rare. Mm-hmm. And this guy did last till the third, right? I mean, you know, it's a lot different than what happened with our good friend Chris Moutinho, right? Who the ref stopped it in that last round. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people were saying, oh, just give him those extra 20 seconds.
So, you know, and you know what? I mean, there's a lot of things that's going on in terms of the fight world, you know, fighters that are dying just because of injuries that they suffered in the ring. And, you know, you don't want to, you know, push the limit on that, right? But then again, you know, if you see somebody struggling, okay, so you know what? We can both agree that a ref's job is one of the hardest jobs, you know, in the ring.
Yeah.
Right? Am I right? Right? Because, I mean, it's your decision to stop the fight, right? And protect both fighters. The fighter's job is to make sure that, you know what, you keep swinging until they tell you to stop, right?
Yeah.
So again, for me, it was just the way it was going down. I was like, wow, unbelievable, right? And then the third round was just like, this is too much.
Yeah, I mean, just so people know, I did reach out to this guy on Instagram to try and get him on our podcast. I don't think he's ever going to come, but we are going to try to get another referee, an MMA referee and or an MMA judge to come on our podcast. We're currently in talks with a few people, so we're hoping to get one of them on, and that mm-hmm. would be very excited. We can get their opinion on how did this thing go down mm-hmm. and also what they feel their job is and what's their responsibility when they're watching fights go down. So
yeah,
cross fingers. Probably not this guy. Before we get to our last topic, which is going to be UFC 268, Prince, we're going to go down that card and we're going to make some picks. I do want to say again, thank you so much to our sponsors. So one of our sponsors is Midday Squares, like you talked about, Prince. Guys, middaysquares.com. We eat these things like every podcast. I'm telling you, these things are amazing. Go check them out. I finished mine before the podcast. Functional chocolate bars. Use code FIGHTINSIGHT15 to save 15%. Really appreciate those guys for doing that for us. When you do buy stuff, it does help support the show. And I did want to say also thank you to another one of our sponsors is Inner Strength Products. Go to innerstrengthproducts.ca. The link will be in our show notes, but innerstrengthproducts.ca. They are a Canadian-based supplier of essential powerlifting gear for both current and aspiring powerlifters. Go check their stuff out. Amazing stuff. Prince, you've bought from them before.
Yeah, amazing. Like they've got Inzer belts, they've got SB wrist guards, all of the top weightlifting gear, they have it. So an amazing feedback. If you have any questions about any of the products, they are really responsive and they get back to you quickly.
Yeah. All right. So Prince, here we go. UFC 268. There are way too many fights to talk about, but I'm going to put up, here the poster done again by our friends at MMA Social Squad, who asked one of the questions of Julia. This is a better poster than the official one. I don't care what anyone says. It looks great. Stacked card, Prince.
Yeah.
But we will obviously go to the top three fights, yes, which are the ones that everybody really cares about, right? Mm-hmm. So first one, Prince, that we will talk about is the non-title fight, which is Justin Gaethje versus Michael Chandler. America, wow, versus America. Both guys that adorn the flag.
Yep.
Heavy, heavy knockout artists on both sides. Who do you have on this one, Prince?
Oh my gosh. I think that fight should be the main event. Like that's,
it could be a main event in any other day.
Yeah, that's it. They should just leave it. There you go. Let those two, Justin and Michael, like dish it out. So I would pick. Okay. I'm going to go with Mike.
Mike Chandler?
I'm going to go with Michael Chandler.
All right.
I just feel like, you know, both of them have a similar fighting style. Okay. But I'm going to go with Mike. Yeah, I just feel like after, you know what, I think he's prepped for this. And I think it's going to go the distance. And I think he's going to win by decision.
All righty.
What do you think, Timmy?
I'm going with Justin Gaethje, man. I freaking love that guy. We've talked before about him on the podcast. He's the only guy, aside from Barboza, and again, because it's his leg kicks, but he's the guy that my wife will not watch him fight because of how disgusting and how, like, just brutal his fights are. Yeah. Gaethje's a monster. I love Gaethje, and I want to see him win because I want to see him get another title shot. I want to see him go up against Dustin or Charles, and we'll see where that goes. The thing is there is that if Chandler were to win and Charles Oliveira wins, I don't know that they would give Chandler another shot at Oliveira. So
yeah,
I'd be scared of that messing things up, but mm-hmm. I'm going for Gaethje. I think Gaethje's my guy.
Yeah, and I really hope the UFC has like blood products on deck because that one's going to be a bloody, like I'm telling you, they better have, for that fight, they better have a separate like ring just for the two of them.
Or like a separate, like a little cloth to lay out over top. Like almost like a tablecloth, and they can just put it out let those two guys murder each other and then take it off and let the rest of the fights go.
Yeah, just for hygienic purposes, right? So just you want to, there you go.
Prince, the next fight is Rose Namajunas, Thug Rose versus Magnum Wei Li Zhang. This is for the women's strawweight title. Prince.
Okay, Tim, you know what? I'm going to sway away from the favorites. I'm going to go with Wei Li with this one. I'm going to go. Yeah, you know what? Just to support the Chinese heritage, the love.
I had I was just about to call you racist the minute you picked Rose, but not this time, my friend. Zhang. Okay, so you're picking Zhang? I don't know that she is not the favorite, though? I know you just said I'm going against favorites. I don't know who the favorite is on this. It's got to be pretty tight on odds.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure Thug Rose is the favorite, but
I'm sure that's gonna like change as the days go by, as people keep voting, betting one way or another. That's a very close fight, man. Mm-hmm. I also have Zhang. I think Zhang takes it by domination. I think the last fight, I'm going to say early stoppage. I'm also going to say, hey, man, anyone at this level can do a flash kick knockout, right? Mm-hmm, like, mm-hmm. You know, it wasn't like Rose was beating her up for even one full round. Like, it wasn't a beating and then she knocks her out. It was a flash knockout, which does happen, right? That reminds me of like the Connor and Aldo.
You know,
you never really got to see that fight. It was a flash knockout. Then what? This rematch can be very exciting, but I got Zhang winning by TKO stoppage. I think she's just going to beat her down with her power and her aggression. Prince.
Yeah, Tim, actually, just to let you know, Rose is the slight favorite.
What are between us? Oh, okay, never mind.
Don't worry. Go ahead.
So how do you see Zhang winning?
I think it's going to go the distance. I think this one's going to go decision again.
That would be beautiful if we got five rounds of it. I'm not going to complain. All right.
But I think she's going to win by decision. I mean, I think everyone's hoping for a knockout, but I honestly think all these fights are going to end up in decision just because everyone is just so finely matched, right?
If my $80 can get me 45 minutes. No, well, not 45, even longer. Yeah, like if it can get me three decision fights in those last three fights, I will be a happy man. So last fight, Prince, we've got the championship, the return match. We've got Kamaru Usman, champion, fighting everybody's favorite, Colby Covington. Who do you have on that one?
All right. I am gonna go with Usman on this one. Yeah, I just feel he's just got the edge. I don't think anything Colby throws at him is gonna make a difference. Like, I mean, I know he switched to a different gym. He's focused on more one to one. He's done well since he switched over. But Usman, he's just a beast. The man is just terrifying. And I honestly think he is going to win by Usman by decision as well. I think Colby will put, make him run for his money. What do you think, Tim?
I'm going to go with Colby. I really like Colby. I like his whole shtick. I like how he's gotten into people, how he annoys people and all that. So I'm going to go with Colby, but I'm also going to throw this out there. Is it not that Rose, Gaethje, and Usman?
Trevor Fitman, baby.
Right?
Yep, three.
So, and he only trains those three.
That's it.
Right? So here's my thing. You've got this one coach that trains these three super top high-level fighters. And he's got all three fighting on the same night. I don't like that. I don't like where his mind's got to be to give 100% focus to each of these three fighters. It's like, if they were on three separate cards, would you not be giving them a different level of attention than if you've got to get all three? I mean, man, what a stable this guy has. But
But Tim, I'm throwing this out.
I don't like that. I don't like it.
I'm throwing this out for you. What if all three take it?
If all three take it, then I will delete this podcast so that no one ever sees my stupidity. But if even one of them loses, I'm going to say it might be that. And we've seen this, Prince. I know we've talked about this before, but we've seen where gyms go on highs together and they also go on lows together. And so, yes, they're on highs now, but the minute something starts to turn, I don't know. And what if Gaethje loses the first fight badly? Now Whitman has to go run to the back, leave his unconscious defeated fighter to go now walk the next one out. What if Rose then loses badly, which is very likely? Now he's got to run to the back, make sure Gaethje's not, you know, too bad, make sure Rose is okay. Now go bring out Usman. Like, I don't know. That's I can't do it. I can't do it.
I see what you're getting at here. Like, you know, if that happens, I mean, you have a domino effect of, say, your fighters are all losing, you know, consecutively. You're going to be like, oh, my, where's your mindset going to be at? Oh, my gosh, Justin just got a beating. I got to go bring Rose in. Rose lost. Oh, my gosh. Like, you know what I mean? And then the fighters that are about to step into the ring, they're like, holy crap, man, my teammates lost. And my coach is like, you know, right? So
what about the reverse? What about if Trevor Whitman likes Gaethje the most?
Oh, I don't think that's the case, man.
And he's been putting more attention on Gaethje than the other ones. Or what if when Gaethje wins, he really just cares about celebrating with my buddy Justin, and now he's got to walk these two guys out to the ring. I know that's not the case, but there's always favorites. There's always something. Like, I don't know. Like, I just, I think having all three of your fighters on the same card, that's a weird, it's just a weird thing. I just don't know how that works out.
Yeah, you know what? I mean, he's got a lot on his plate. Like, I mean, I really would like to see his fight schedule for these guys, his training schedule for these guys.
That's what I mean, though. Right? That's what I mean. Like, there's only so much time in the day. Like, if Julia's husband had another Julia in the gym that is training, from what she says, like, almost 24 hours a day, how do you possibly divert your time and focus, right? Like, I don't know. And in this sport, I feel like that coach-athlete relationship is so important that I don't know how that goes. But anyways, I'm going to pick, who did I pick? I picked Colby.
Colby, yep.
So we split on that one. I'm Colby, you're Usman. We're both going for Zhang, and we're split on Gaethje Chandler.
Yes, you got that. It's gonna be an amazing fight. Like, oh my gosh, the cards that UFC has been throwing at us. Like, we don't even have a week to process everything. Like,
yeah, no. It's gonna be amazing, man. I can't wait. It's gonna be so exciting. That we're running down on time, Prince. Is there anything that you want to say before we go?
Guys, so again, you can follow us in YouTube. You can follow us on Instagram at Fight Insight Podcast. You can listen to us at Fight Insight Podcast. And and also don't forget 15% on your first order, Midday Squares.
Midday Squares, that is right. And we do have some giveaways coming up. We will get to that. But if you're interested in innerstrengthproducts.ca, as we talked about them before, and we do have some gift certificates that we're ready to give away. Message us if you're interested, though, because we might be able to do something for you even before the giveaway. Prince, it was a great time, man. I'm very excited. We're off. We're going to reconvene in an hour because we're going to go do something exciting, which we're not announcing yet. But we'll reconvene in an hour to go do that, buddy. It's great time. I was so happy to meet Julia, man. What a cool cat.
Literally, Julia, thank you. And when you do become champ, we are going to hold you to that promise. You are going to come over here and you are going to celebrate with us and we are going to cry together.
Prince, around now, there's going to be videos somewhere around that you can click on. You can catch all of our other stuff. Please do. Prince, having a good time with you as always, my friend.
All right, buddy. See you in a bit.
All right. See you, man. Yeah.